folks. Welcome, everybody. Susan Baracco here. Welcome to the coaching call. Glad you're here today. Got some folks coming on. Hey, Chris. Laird is here. Mariana, good to see you. I have you here. And Philip, welcome, welcome. I would love to have you start. We're going to wait just another moment or two, let other people join us. And while we're doing that, please say hello in the chat so I know that you can hear me and that my audio is working properly. Hey, Laird, thank you. And if you feel like answering the just for fun question while we're waiting, go right ahead. What's your favorite movie? Just something fun to think about, hopefully. Else. Another Chris. Two Chris's here today. Hey, welcome to both of you. Laurel just joined us. Welcome, Laurel. Secondhand Lions. I don't know if I've ever heard of that. I'll have to check that out. Scott. Hey, welcome, Scott. Good to have you here. Gabrielle, welcome, welcome, folks. Nice group we've got building here. It is a stunningly beautiful day where I am. Sun is out, light breeze, and it might even reach 80. And it's just perfect, perfect summer day today. So hope it's good where you are too. I'm going to jump in and ask my first question for everybody. If you're new to the program and new to this is your first call, I go through a couple of questions that I ask, or at least one question actually that I ask you first, just to get us started. And then we jump into the question and answer, and then we wrap up depending on how many people are here and how many questions we have. And hey, Brittany, glad to have you on the call. And somebody has dialed in on the phone. It's a 612 area code. I don't have a name. I only see your phone number. So hello, glad you're here. And glad you're here to listen. So this call is being recorded. And that way, if you have to leave early, or if you, for those of you who are not available to sit in on the call live, folks get a chance to hear it after. And I want to encourage everybody who's here, who is here today, to not be shy in asking questions. This is an opportunity to ask questions, get clarification, anything that you might be frustrated by or maybe feeling stuck. Now's the time to ask, and don't be shy about it. It's a really great component to this program, and to have an opportunity to think things through a bit and get some help and get unstuck is what this is all about. So please don't be shy. All right. Philip says he's getting back on track. Having dental surgery a couple of weeks ago. Good for you. Welcome back. That can take you out sometimes. Gabrielle says made several cold calls this week. Wow. Great. Good for you. And that's definitely a win. Scott says, not much to offer today. I've been preoccupied recently with my current day job, but looking at the end. At the ED market and education, last week discovered a friend who's investing in pre-K school in his area, now picking his brain on that market and how my skills might be applied. Great. You know, it's really wonderful to have resources like that. I suggested that recently, and it might have been on another call, but you know, research is your friend. Take time and do research. Look at other people, other writers that are focusing on the same industry. See how they're presenting themselves and what they're talking about on their websites or on their LinkedIn profile. Always interesting to see who they might be connected to, things like that. Look for different companies, different sizes. Look at small, medium, and large companies in your space to see what they're talking about, what their websites look like. You can really get a lot of good information when you start poking around a little bit. And you don't have to invest, you know, weeks and weeks worth of time into research, but you know, spending a couple of hours to get to know your market is incredibly helpful, especially in the beginning as you're first getting to find your way, figuring out your positioning. Right. And then, of course, friends and family, network, people in your network, you might be able to reach out to, like Scott is, to get some insider information if you can. All right. Chris says, trying to regroup after a tough project in my day job, 1 week of on-call service and then moving to a new apartment. Ooh, but I do have questions. Great. Well, welcome back, Chris. Head above water again, it sounds like. And that's an awful lot. Moving and it alone is a ton of work. So I'm glad you're here. Mariana says, I got a great project yesterday. Hey, congratulations. Is that your first client? That's really exciting. Definitely drop it that in the chat. Let me know if that's your first client. That's terrific, Mariana. Oh, congrats. Laird says he talked to a commercial insurance salesperson, which is outside my industry, but connected with him anyway in case he has clients that may need my services. Great idea. It's interesting to partner with people who are calling on the same prospects that you are. And might have interaction with the same people that you would like to be that you'd like to be calling on. That can be very helpful. Hey Sally, I didn't see you sneak in. Welcome. Sally says, I chose my niche, my type of copy, and submitted my website copy for review a few days ago. Great. I actually think I'm gonna be looking at that later today, Sally. So great. Congratulations. That's a big win. Those are, you know, the first 2 to 3 sessions in this program are a lot of heavy lifting. There's a lot to do in terms of figuring out who you are and who you want to be and who you want to be working with and your positioning and then putting that all in writing and getting it onto a website. There's lots to be done there. So congratulations for getting through that. Philip says relearning how to do research on LinkedIn on session lesson on lesson 5D. Great. Yeah, LinkedIn is a cool place. you'll hear from me a bit about LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn and have used it for years very successfully. So definitely a great tool, especially for free. It's crazy that you can still be on LinkedIn for free and do a fair amount and get some business out of it, even though it's a free tool. All right. I think that's Kelty. Is that you, Kelty? I think. And Bryce joined us and Cheryl. Oh my goodness. Got a lot of folks joining today. Welcome. If you just jumped on with us, we're sharing wins, big or small, in the chat. So feel free to put a capital W and share share a win. And it says, Katie Wieland, I don't know your first name. I'm not sure of your first name, but your win was that I just signed up for this coaching program. So congratulations and welcome. If you would, type in the chat and just let me know your first name so I can address you appropriately. That would be helpful. Chris's win is making slow progress for the last few days. My top priority is my published deadline for my day job, tech writing. Ah, great. Well, making progress, doesn't matter. One of my favorite sayings, small steps are still steps. So good for you for continuing to just move forward. McElvey says she got invited to an entrepreneur's podcast. Congratulations. Ooh, that's fun. I love being on podcasts. It's really fun to be a guest. And there's plenty of resources out there, by the way, when you get to that point. Where you can start reaching out and getting in front of your audience that way. It's just another fun way to do, to interact. Phillips has also submitted my website for review. Yes, I have that on my list. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to be able to get to both of those today. So looking forward to seeing it. Mariana says they were my first project when I started 2 years ago, and now after maternity leave is the first client that goes into the in the direction I want to go. I had others smaller, but not really what I want to do. Got it. Thanks for clarifying on that. Brittany says found a LinkedIn live video aimed at my target market, talking about their needs in this department. Needs I can cover. Great. Oh, that's a nice gem for you to come across. That's terrific. Really gives you some insights. That's terrific. And it's Kelly. Thanks, Kelly. We have another person in the, I think in the program right now, whose first name is Kelty. So spelled the exact same way, except off by one letter. So Sarah, hey Sarah. Her win is finished up work for a small client, pitched, interviewed for another gig, which would be ongoing work. Going to do a trial project soon for that one. Congratulations. Yeah, the ongoing stuff that that repeat or ongoing projects are really great if you can land one of those. But congratulations to you. That's a great way to dive in and get started. Awesome. Wow, we've got quite a few people today on the call. So welcome again to all of you, and glad you guys are able to make it to the call. I am going to jump into the question and answer session portion of the call. Because we have so many people, I want to make sure we spend plenty of time addressing questions. And so what I would request is that you type a capital Q in the chat so that I'm sure not to miss it. That helps a great deal. And keep your questions focused and specific. So be as concise as possible in the small amount of room that we have on the chat. One question per person, especially since we have a good group today, and I can always come back around if we don't get to. And oftentimes what I find is that if I answer a question for someone, it brings up other questions. So no worries, but if you would, let's just do one at a time so we can get to touch everyone and help everyone. And then let me know if you don't want me to unmute you. So that's just if for some reason you're in a place where you can't be unmuted, or you're at work or something like that, just do let me know so that I don't bring you on. Sometimes I need a little more background and clarification. I want you to just, you know, really explain so that I can give you the best insight that I possibly can. The other thing that I want to encourage everyone on the call who's here, who has access to the chat, is, you know, to share your thoughts as well. Don't hesitate to, you know, if you've got resources, sometimes people say, hey, they'll ask a question about a resource. Does anybody know a good, you know, whatever the case may be. Feel free to share any insights that you have as well. All right. And Chris, welcome. You're first out of the gate here with the question. How best to research, how best to find companies in my niche, software that's complex, expensive, or new to pitch. So one of the questions I usually ask is where you are in the program, and this is a different slide deck, so that's why I didn't ask it. It's different than I normally use. Prospecting. I think it's session 5 where Ed talks more about prospecting. I believe there's a session, some information there about research. So sorry, I'm just reading my handout. So in regards to research, so I'm hoping, Chris, that you know exactly what your field is. And I'm not sure, let me just see, Chris, I think you said you have a day job. I'm not sure if you're able to jump on, if I can unmute you. Just let me know if I can. If not, I'll just make some assumptions on your behalf. But I assume that you're, you can. Okay, great. Hold on, let me go unmute you then. If I can mind you, there we go. Hey, Chris.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can. Hold on.
I'm on vacation. I can talk as much as I want.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. Hold on. Let me just
change that. Okay. So I just wanted to understand. So you were asking software that's complex, expensive, or new. Is this something that you have background in? I know you're in the tech industry now, correct?
Yeah, I've been building business systems with complex software for about 3 decades, so I know the industry pretty well.
So are there companies that you're already familiar with, or are there ones that you think you want to lean toward in particular?
I don't know, other than staying away from companies that are competitors of my current employer.
Right, right. No, makes sense. Makes sense. I guess the best thing to do is look at, whatever is, if you think about the product that your current company offers and the industry that it focuses on, think about other verticals, and that's probably where it would start. So let's just, for example, say that your company focuses on their target market is healthcare. What kind of product or technology are they providing to healthcare that might have might be useful or is something that's used in other industries, maybe in hospitality or in, I don't know. I'm just, kind of making this up as I go along, but I would think of other verticals to take you like one step to the left or right of the vertical that you're in. Does your company have a specific target market or are they more broad?
Well, unfortunately, it's a business intelligence and analytics company, and they have products in just about every vertical you could think of.
Ah, okay. Okay. Huh. Interesting. Interesting. Well, I can tell you that software it's just become so complex. Technology, as you well know, I don't have to tell you that. But I think you need to just get a little bit creative and start exploring and looking for companies that might, be similar or maybe completely opposite. Maybe it's something that's a brand new technology for you, something that you're not familiar with right now. Because I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I would think that your experience in the tech field would transfer pretty comfortably, even to a technology that you might not have as much familiarity left with. Would that be fair to say? I mean, it depends. Obviously, there's lots of technology covers a lot of ground. But is that something you think that would make sense in terms of, where would your knowledge and experience translate well?
Well, I think it would. I mean, just a background in computer science and having been in tech for a while, that gives me a leg up on writers maybe who don't have that experience. So,
absolutely,
I would think so.
Absolutely. So the other thing you might do, this might be something, and I don't know if you've tried this or not yet, but is to research other tech copywriters and see where they're focusing, see how they're presenting themselves. I always find that your competition is a great place to get information and to just get a sense of, how are they presenting themselves and what are they talking about. And some of the competitor websites you look at aren't going to be as well done as others, but at least you might get a sense of, how are your competitors presenting themselves and what are they targeting, a particular vertical or a particular, a really focused niche. I mean, technology in my mind is so broad. I think you could go anywhere. I mean, you could go start, calling on technology that's for small business, like accounting software online or different types of software for that, back office type softwares and technologies. You could start calling on those kinds of companies. And I think that would be different enough because you're talking business analytics, right? Is what you're in right now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I would think about heading in a different direction and try it. The only thing that I can tell you, Chris, honestly, is this whole process of starting a freelance business is trial and error. And I know you've been in the program for a bit. You may have heard me say that before, but there's a certain amount of, let's try this for a little bit. Let's go in this direction and see where it leads. But obviously wanting to be respectful of not being calling on competitors, I think that there's probably a fairly broad spectrum. What would be of interest to you? Is there a particular technology that has always interested you or intrigued you that might be different from what you're doing?
I'm going to have to think about that. I guess that'll be part of the research, is find out what other types of software are available, because I've been so focused on business analytics and that kind of thing that
right.
I haven't given myself time to think about other stuff.
So you could attack it from a couple different directions. What is what's interesting to you? You know, what kind of technology? The other thing is, what is the technology's end user look like? So maybe you really want to work with small business or write for that audience. Maybe you really want to write for a particular type of a business. Maybe it's, maybe you really want to start working with companies that are, I don't know, any kind of a company that might be specific. Maybe it's all, and I'll just use, law firms or CPA firms or something like that, where there's a lot of them out there and it's just something that you feel comfortable, heading in that direction, or maybe that's, again, of interest to you. So there's a couple different ways to narrow that a little bit and start digging in from a research perspective. So, yeah, either way, is there a particular type of writing that you are interested in doing?
White papers, case studies. I mean, I've taken courses in those.
Oh, good.
Okay. I'm also coming up to speed on chatbots. So that's kind of an interesting area.
Yeah. And that's really changing. All that's changing. It's interesting because I haven't heard many people mention that. So I think that's great. It's a matter of, chatbox is something that kind of opens other avenues too. What kinds of companies are using chatbox and how, and getting into that. I think that would be a fairly, that's an emerging sector, if you will, or an emerging service to offer. So, but I think it's just a matter of being a little creative and thinking differently about, who from a couple different angles, and hopefully given you some ideas, I hope, and in terms of looking at it from a couple different perspectives.
Yes, it has. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. All right. Well, keep us posted and let us know on Facebook how that turns out. I'd be interested in seeing where you decide to, what direction you decide to head first.
Okay. Thanks, Susan.
All right. Good luck. Great question. The tough part is that there's so much to choose from in the software industry, and sometimes it can feel a little overwhelming. And I know Chris was saying he's in a, he certainly doesn't want to be calling on competitors of his current company. But there's a lot of different ways to think about it. As I mentioned, different angles to look at. Is there an end user that I'd like to be working with? Is there a type of a writing I'd specifically like to do, like Chris mentioned, case studies, those kinds of things. That can help to narrow things down a little bit more for you as well as you do your research. But don't overlook your competitors. Definitely do some research to see what kinds of tech writers, for you, Chris, in particular, but what kind of writers are out there. And that goes for anyone who's listening. See what's out there already. See how they're presenting themselves. And it should give you some, hopefully give you some ideas about where to go next. All right, Gabrielle, you're up next. Gabrielle says, since making cold calls to bigger companies, I've tweaked my website copy to speak to marketing directors instead of small business owners. How does this sound as a new headline? I help B2B companies in the software and finance sectors create winning marketing content. I'm not sure if it's too broad, but also not really sure how to talk to these people in the first place. I think it sounds great. Again, you're a perfect example, Gabrielle, of, kind of putting that stick in the sand, which I talk about all the time, is, especially with your website and your website content, is you got to start somewhere. And so it isn't until you start getting out and actually interacting with your target audience when you begin to truly understand them and understand what's important to them and whether or not they even have a need for what you're going to be offering. So I think you're headed in the right direction. Let me just reread that. I help B2B companies in the software and finance sectors create winning marketing content. I think it is broad, yes, but not, I help every B2B company on the planet, any kind of B2B company. I like the fact that you have narrowed it initially to software and finance sectors. I think that's a really good direction to head. And then as you get deeper into the process of prospecting, sending them emails, having discovery calls, really starting to interact with those audiences, you're going to learn a lot about whether or not you're heading in the right direction. I anticipate, Gabrielle, that you'll tweak your your website copy probably a couple of times over the course of the coming months as you get to know the audience and figure out, geez, where do I really want to be focusing all of my efforts? I hope that's helpful. Awesome. McElvey, you're next. She says, I have a Squarespace site. How difficult or easy is it to incorporate a WordPress blog into it? Great question. I do not have any experience with Squarespace, but what I will do, you know what I would love for you to do, McElvey, actually, is to put that exact question into the Q&A thread in the Facebook group. And Ed has a, actually, Crystal is very tech savvy, has a lot of experience with many different platforms for web hosting and for websites. So she might be the best person to answer that question. Unfortunately, I don't have any experience with that at all in terms of how to integrate those two softwares, those two platforms. And Bryce shared chatbots. That's Nick Osborne's wheelhouse. Great. Very cool. That's a great resource. Nick is Nick's a cool guy, got some good programs. So definitely check that out. If it's something that you're interested in, I think it's a really cool area to start focusing in. So much is changing in lately, especially. Oh, great. Chris also said he's offering a new program via AWAI and chatbots. That's great. Thanks for sharing, Chris. Appreciate that. All right, Gabrielle, follow-up question. How long do you think is long enough to pursue a certain prospecting channel before switching to another? That is like a $1 million question to a certain extent. I think that you want to be careful not to switch too quickly. There was one individual that came through this program who was kind of impatient and jumped around a bit and really didn't give any one particular direction a chance to prove itself. And that's really the bottom line when you're thinking about this is, you know, have I given it a good, you know, a really concerted effort and focus from a marketing perspective, from, you know, outreach and so forth. You can't send out 10 emails, get no response and say, oh, that's not a good area. It's not a good industry. I'm moving in a different direction. Or spend a week and say, no, I didn't get any response. I'm moving on. You need to give it, I think Ed and I both agree that it's a couple of months, maybe 2 to 3 months. But in that time, you want to feel good that you've done your best to really work that industry, really stick with your marketing, with your outreach, your prospecting, everything that we talk about, you know, sending emails consistently, following up, having some conversations. I definitely would recommend that you have a few conversations with prospects in the industry, because that is going to definitely give you some insights. Be able to ask good questions when you're on a call. Very, very important. So how long is long enough? You know, I would say no less than 3 months. That's really only 12 weeks. And if you're sending out, if you've got yourself, which we recommend is that you set up some goals, weekly goals, you really want to give it a couple of months to make sure that you've covered your bases. You really feel like you've done a thorough job of trying to work that particular industry before saying, you know what, I'm not getting anywhere. I'm not getting any traction. Sometimes you can figure it out quicker. One of the best ways, and I talk about this a lot, but one of the best ways to figure out if an industry is viable is to, again, look for competitors. Do a search on copywriters plus whatever industry or whatever segment niche you're going to be focusing on and see what comes up. If there's only a handful of names and the websites are not you know, no wow factor. You're not looking at these websites thinking, wow, these people are, you know, got their act together. There might not be a huge demand in that industry. And that's one of the best ways to tell. Sometimes people get nervous about, geez, I did a, like tech writers. Honestly, there's tech writers are probably one of the most populous, if you will. There's a lot of tech writers out there, but there's a lot of need. And that's why there's a lot of tech writers. So you're actually getting into a good industry if that's something that that's a direction that you're headed. Because there's lots of companies that have a need for the services that you offer and that you're going to be providing. So same thing with any industry is to check and see if it's education, if it's healthcare, if it's something more unique and different. Check and see what's out there. See how many people are actually writing for that industry. And I would still recommend kind of heading in that direction for a little bit. But there's some, you know, some industries that are more proven just right out of the gate, like tech and healthcare. But that doesn't mean that you can't do well with other, in other areas, other target markets. So give it, the basic rule of thumb is to be able to sit back and say, yes, I gave it a fair shot. I put a lot of effort into it and didn't get the result that I was expecting. I hope that helps. All right, Kelly, you're next. Kelly says, I've just started session one. Congratulations and welcome to the program. That's about positioning. I know Ed says the gold is in your background, but I'm feeling unsure because I've been in corporate communications and employee communications for many years with some PR and marketing along the way. In terms of positioning and what makes me different, would it make sense to flip perspective and talk about what differentiates me is that I've been on the client side. I've hired and worked with vendors and know what clients need from their outside partners, or is it more valuable that I've got experience working across teams, departments to set the vision, get people to collaborate and then get things done? Again, I'm just getting started on this work. So Kelly, I'm hoping you can come on. I do have a quick question for you. Hey Kelly.
I'm here.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm good.
Welcome to the program. You're brand new.
Yes, I am so brand new.
Yeah. So I wanted to just understand, what was the industry that you were in that 20 year? Were you pretty much in the same industry over that course of 20 years?
I've jumped a little bit. I've been in financial services.
Okay.
And healthcare and retail.
Oh gosh. Yeah, you've got some great background. Great background. So one of the things that I would encourage you to think about is thinking about what's of value to a potential prospect. And when I saw corporate communications and employee communications, I think there's some real value in that in terms of your experience. So you've been, you know, hands-on with this type of communication for a long time, and some mid-sized companies who are just emerging and starting to grow, that's the kind of communication support they need, is, you know, talking about growth, talking and starting as they grow their employee, their staff, as they expand their staff, making sure that they communicate with them effectively and those types of things. I think there's a real need for that in a mid-size company. So you might want to just keep that in mind as you start working through this. And that allows you actually to call on almost any kind of mid-size company. And mid-size B2B company who might be in growth mode and has more need for putting corporate communications out there, talking more about news, press releases and updates about, you know, maybe their merger and acquisition, or maybe there's, you know, bringing in, expanding their executive team, things like that. All of that needs to be publicized and publicized appropriately. So it might be something to think about.
Pretty over working in corporate communications. And okay. I eventually want to slide into doing more work for nonprofits, foundations, kind of heart-centered businesses. You know, I really kind of want to see this as a chance to make a switch.
Got it. So I'm not suggesting that you work necessarily for another big company. What I'm thinking is supporting growing companies. And I still think it would be a value for you to present that as part of your background, even to nonprofits and the audience that you'd like to target. Because I think they in particular tend to struggle. And I think your background is just not something that you need to, I think it's something that would add what I call wow factor. When I look at someone's website, what I'm looking for is if I'm in a particular industry, when I do the reviews, I'm always looking to see what have you talked about, especially on the homepage, on the landing page, that's going to make the visitor lean in and say, wow, she's got that background. It may not be something that you want to obviously go back to, but it may give credibility. What we want to do is position it, and that's why we're calling it positioning exercise, position that experience in a way that the person you're calling on or the target audience really sits up and takes notice and says, wow, she's got corporate communications. Where's the contact me button? I want to speak with this person. So it isn't that that's what you're going to focus on, but it's you're going to use that as leverage to build credibility with your target audience. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's not about continuing to do that. I totally get it. After 20 years. Yes. Time to try something new.
For a change. Yeah, exactly.
So I love honestly that you've got corporate employee PR and marketing experience over your 20 years, all of that together. Now you're bringing that to the nonprofit marketplace. I think there's real strength there. I think that's some real wow factor as people look at, ooh, you've got big business experience. We want to look and sound like a big business. Can you bring that and help us?
Okay.
Makes sense?
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And good luck. And please, I'm going to remind you and everybody on the call and anyone listening is, you know, please use the Facebook group as in between these calls to ask questions and get support. So don't be shy there. But good luck.
Thank you.
Great question. All right, Laurel. Laurel is up next. And her question is, Laurel says, maybe this is covered in a future session, but I was wondering about guidance for using Upwork or other similar platforms. So, for those of you on the call or listening to the recording, platforms such as Upwork are places where people can go and get a project, any kind of a marketing project, put it out for bid, so to speak. And typically lowest bid wins depending on the person's experience and so forth. So it's a marketplace and it is a platform that matches anybody who wants their resume done, who wants a marketing piece like a lead magnet for their business or anything like that, anything that's got to do with graphics, graphic artists spend a lot of time there. Web designers sometimes spend time on places like Upwork, and writers definitely, copywriters definitely spend time there. So what Ed and I both agree on is that these places are, if you're brand new to copywriting, you have no experience whatsoever, it might not be a bad place to check out to see if you can land a project or two to get some experience and to get a couple of samples for your website and so forth. However, it is not, Fiverr is another one, Upwork and Fiverr. It's not a place to hang out long-term. And the reason being is that people who use these types of platforms like Upwork are looking for a cheap option. They're not looking necessarily for a professional. to build a relationship with and utilize long term, they're looking for, okay, I need this done, just get it done and I'll pay you $50. You know, it's not and not that every single project that comes through those sites is low end in terms of, you know, people not wanting to spend a lot of money. However, that is generally, and I'm generalizing, that is generally the case with those platforms. So check them out, learn about them so that you know what they're all about, especially when you get into reaching out to your target market, starting to have conversations. You just want to be aware of what those platforms offer, so that, because they are competition for us. You know, they definitely are. You can get all kinds of things written. I wouldn't use those necessarily to price your own, to set your own pricing, because it's too low most of the time, generally speaking. But it's, again, not a bad place to get a little bit of experience. I often, once I got further into running my copywriting business, I would, and I started charging more as I grew and expanded and got experience and developed my business. I started using them as, I would refer prospects to them. Sometimes I would get on the phone with someone and they'd be like, oh, that's way too expensive. Okay, well, you know what? Here's a couple of options for you. You can try Upwork, you could try Fiverr, you could try a couple of these other places. If you're looking for something that's more of a low cost option, that would be a better, most likely be a better fit for you. So I was always trying to help and make sure I left a positive result, whether I got the business or not. And so I started using them as a, hey, if you don't want to pay what I'm charging, that's fine, but here's some options just to get you in a different direction, give you some other options. So good place to check out, good thing to understand as you get into this industry, get into freelancing, but not a place that I would recommend you stay too long. Try it. See what happens, see if you can get some work, but really simultaneously, I want to encourage you to focus on building your business the way that that Ed describes and prescribes in sessions, 4, 5 and beyond. Great question. All right, Chris, I think this is the other Chris, has a question. Regarding the process of consistently executing marketing tasks, such as follow-up emails, do you recommend using a project management tool like Asana? Kanban columns for taking key tasks through stages? Yes. So absolutely. I think Ed recommends using an Excel spreadsheet to start if you don't have a lot of contacts, if you're just starting to build your database. But there are some really great online tools, some of which are free under a certain number of contacts in the database. Like HubSpot is another one. I use HubSpot. I actually use a paid version now, but when I started, I was using their free version, and it's actually pretty cool. So it helps you to keep track of those kinds of things. There's lots of different softwares out there to use for, you called it a PM, project management type of tool. Look for CRM, which is contact relationship management, right? I think that's what it stands for, CRM tool. And those have that same kind of, they're more marketing focused as well. I've heard of Asana before, but I'm not super familiar with it. But yes, you want to, as you start to grow the list of prospects that you're building, you're going to need something a little more with more functionality than an Excel spreadsheet. But, you know, a spreadsheet is a great place to start as you get comfortable, start building your list. But then you could start putting people, contacts into groups by, you know, maybe it's personal friends, maybe there's, you know, part of your professional network. Then it's, you know, as you get deeper into this program too, Ed talks about not yet readies. So not yet ready is someone that you've spoken to, very interested in you, but doesn't have a project right now. They're quite literally not yet ready. You want to make sure that you put them in a place where you can reach back out to them in, you know, a month or two, something like that, just so that you keep in touch and stay in front of them. So you want to be able to categorize the contacts within your database as you grow. So yes, I would recommend using some kind of a tool, but you don't have to do that right away. That can be something you can work your way into. And free is always good. It gives you a chance to try some of these databases without making a big dollar commitment, as well as I've tried a couple different kinds of, I think I used Zoho was a little bit more of a kind of a combined project management and CRM tool. That was one I used years ago, and currently using HubSpot. I've been using them for a couple of years now, and used a couple different kinds. So try some. There's, you know, look for free tools, free online tools for small business right now. There's plenty that'll allow you to get on for free and try them out. All right, Philip, you're up next. Philip says, I'm currently focused on the home building industry because of past experience. I'm interested in alternative healthcare, but have very little experience in that field. Is that a leap too far? So, Philip, there's a couple different ways to look at it. It's not uncommon for folks to come through this program and make big changes. So, going from maybe something that you were in for years and years, some industry, and you're just burned out, right? Something like what Kelly was talking about. Hey, I've been in it for 20 years. I just, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to go. I want to go in a different direction. Absolutely fine. I think the best suggestion that I could provide is to start where Ed and I like to call it low-hanging fruit. So think of places where you could get business in the door, that you could start getting a couple of clients in the door and help you get some momentum and some experience. And if that happens to be, in your case, home building industry, then start there. If your background is going to appeal, and you heard me talking earlier about wow factor. So if something in your background that you can put on your website that you can talk about in your warm emails or whatever the case, hey, I've got this great background in home building, and I'd love to help you with whatever, X, Y, and Z for your business. If that's going to get people to sit up and say, wow, he's got that background, I'm going to call him, then that's where I would recommend that you start right out of the gate. The whole idea is, if you have no clients, getting that first client is a big deal. And that's why this program is kind of centered around bringing in that first client, because it is a big deal. Up until then, I can tell you, I've been in your shoes. It was a long time ago. It was about 7 years ago when I started my copywriting business. Was working full-time and worked full-time for a while before I made the transition to full-time freelancer. But, that first client proves like, ooh, I might actually be able to make this work. You know, up until then, you're kind of thinking, you're holding your breath. And you're thinking, most people are thinking, I'm not sure this is going to pay the bills, but I'm going to try it. And if that's kind of where, you know, you're kind of unsure, and most people are, so don't feel like, there's something wrong with me because I'm nervous about this. You should be. You should be, because it's hard when you've never done it before. You're just getting into it. So all of that being said, what I recommend is go for the low-hanging fruit. Start in a direction where you know you're going to get some business, that there's a higher likelihood that you'll get some clients in the door. You start working with clients, you start understanding what that's like, understanding how to talk to clients. It doesn't matter if you're in the home building industry and want to move to healthcare, you're going to learn some very valuable things about talking with clients, getting yourself organized, what to do's and don'ts with contracts and agreements for work and getting paid. It doesn't matter who you're working with to get that experience. That experience is really important. That's what I want you to focus on, is, you know, get that business in the door, get some momentum, start feeling like, okay, this is going to work. I'm going to make this work. And then you can either simultaneously or, you know, give yourself a couple of months to get a little bit of momentum, and then start looking at, all right, now that I've been doing some writing, and that's my other goal, is to get some samples and get some experience actually writing. If you've not done writing before, this is a really important thing. Then to go to the healthcare industry or Portage Care, Alternative Health, and say, look, I've been writing a blog for this. Yeah, it's a home building company, but I've been writing their blog for, 6 months or something. Now I have experience writing blogs. So it doesn't really matter. So, in terms of it's the writing experience, that might be something important that you need to build. So this is something that you want to think about from your own, obviously your own personal perspective is, do I have great writing experience? And if not, where's the best chance for me to get that writing experience quickly so that then I can start to pursue the industry that I really want to focus on? So do I think it's too much of a leap? Maybe right up front it is. But until you get some good experience working with clients and get some writing samples under your belt and be able to put that out on your website or share them with prospects, it might be too much of a leap right up front. The only time that it might not be, Philip, for your point of reference, is, and Ed talks about this also, and it might be, hold on. Where do we go? Session 5, 4 options, pro bono. He's got templates for those kinds of things. So pro bono work is a great way to break into an industry that you might not have a strong of a background in. And early on, where all of you are just getting started, pro bono work is a great place to start, but to start only, and to reach out to maybe an alternative healthcare, in your case, Philip, an alternative healthcare company and say, hey, I saw that you haven't written any blogs and in a couple of months, I'd love to help you out with that. And then in a conversation, be able to say, look, I know you don't have any direct background in your field, but I'd be willing to do a couple of pro bono articles for you so that we could get to know each other. And you could see, if my writing style fits your company and your voice. So it's an opportunity. It's a great option to have in your back pocket to say, hey, you know what? I'd love to do a couple of articles for you so you can, we can figure out if we're going to be a good fit. And that's a great way to break into a field that doesn't, most people won't say no to a free article because they don't have to use it either. I mean, you can write an article for them and they don't necessarily have to use it. And if it's something you've done for free, then there's no loss for them. So lots of different ways to get yourself out there and to start looking into these other fields that you want to eventually get into. What I see a lot in coming through a fair amount, sometimes people come in and say, gosh, I've been in insurance for the last 20 years, but I really want to be a travel writer. I'm going to get into the travel industry, nowhere near connected. I recommend the same thing. Get some momentum. Pick that low-hanging fruit, get your business rolling a little bit so that you have more confidence. And at the same time, if you want to reach out to a couple of health care companies and see if you can get some traction with them, you never know, right? But just an idea to maybe help you bridge that those two things together. It's the writing experience that I think people are more interested in, as opposed to your background is great credibility. It's really important in a lot of industries for you to come in with the right background, but your writing experience is just as important. I hope that's helpful. And Chris, I saw your note about Asana being free. Yeah, I didn't know a whole lot about that. I've heard of them, as I mentioned. So check out CRM tools. And I think you, just for comparison, so that you can see if there might be added functionality with a CRM tool that for what you're trying to accomplish. Awesome. Well, great question so far. Philip says they do have a ton of writing experience. Then, well, there you go. Then it might be, then I would try it. I would do it simultaneously and see what you land first. I could tell you that, in the 7 years that I have been I wasn't full time for the first two. In the 7 years that I've been writing, I have pivoted my business 4 times. I think 4 times. And so I got in and started writing anything for anyone. It was before I met Ed and before I took one of his courses. And got some business. You know, I started in the right direction. I think I was, you know, I leveraged my connections, my network, and that kind of thing. Got some great work through that, but really wasn't happy. I was writing. I was busier than anything. I was writing lots of blog articles, and they didn't pay very well, and it was really frustrating. But it was really important learning, because I was learning what I didn't want as much as what I did. So I was learning that, you know what, I need to level up. I need to call on different clients. Maybe I need to change my target market. All of these things were things that I learned as I started diving in. I learned how not to get, how to make sure I got paid. There were several projects that I had early on that, you know, I struggled to collect after I had delivered the goods, and learned how to avoid that. So, you know, there's just things that you learn as you go through this process. And Ed covers a lot of that stuff in this program. So you're going to get a lot of that information. But so, you know, it's really a matter of, you know, deciding where do you want to go? And I think that it's also a personal choice based on how long, and for you, Philip, do you have a little bit of room to not have income coming in? You know, some of you may have that leverage or that luxury, if you will, of saying, you know what, if I don't land a client, in the next month or two, it's okay. The hard part about that, you know, and that's, again, very personal choice. It's based on your own personal circumstance. Others of you may need to land a client as soon as possible, and that's what we're trying to help you do. So is it the perfect client? Is it the exact right thing all the way around? May not be, but it's important to get that momentum in your business. It can be hard to keep. I can tell you that one of the hardest things to do is keep sending warm emails and keep prospecting and keep reaching out to people when you're not getting any response. That is really, can be pretty disheartening all the way around. So momentum in your business is really critical in the beginning. And that's why I'm suggesting, you know what, I keep referring to it as low hanging fruit. Reach out to the ones that you know are going to be interested in working with you, and that you feel will have the most interest in what you bring to the table. All right. Well, I'm going to ask you folks another quick question. We've still got time for more questions. So if you come up with more, please feel free to type them in the chat. But I would love to hear what your top takeaway is so far. What's been most valuable in our discussion so far today on the call? We've had questions about really kind of the front end of the business, which means most of you are early in this process, early in the program, in Ed's program, still kind of finding your way. But we've talked a lot about positioning and pitching and how to get yourself set up properly so that you're calling on the right people, how to transition between industries too. It's kind of interesting. So if you would, capital T in the chat, and just let me know what's been a top takeaway for you. It's something that that we've discussed that has been helpful so far. Mariana says hotspot and CRM. Great. Kelly says get started and go from there. It doesn't have to be perfect or forever. You can always change. Absolutely. Oh my goodness, my business doesn't look anything like it did when I started. Not even close. It's amazing. Chris says, permission to think outside my current box by looking at what others are doing and having talks with other folks to generate ideas. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, it's tough, Chris, too. I worked for, I think, 2 years full-time while I was trying to build my freelance business. And it's hard sometimes, I don't know if what it is for you, but for me, I remember it being difficult sometimes to change my mindset, because you get into this specific mindset when you work for a company, and it's not a bad thing. It's just is what it is, right? You go to work every day and you have this mindset, you put on this hat and you're okay, this is my job, this is what I'm doing. And you tend to get stuck kind of in that. And when you step away and you start focusing on building a freelance gig, it's a different thinking, it's a different mindset. And sometimes it takes a little bit to, you know, change hats, take that one off and let's put the freelancer hat on and start, you know, thinking. And, you know, the question, what if I went in that direction? What if I called on that guy? What if I tried this? What if I offered that? What if? I don't know. Let's see what happens. You know, it is trial and error in the beginning, and you really are going to be testing. It's not so much trial and error. I think the better way to put it is testing. Let's test this. Let's see how it goes. And if it doesn't go where you want, make a change and test a different direction, a different audience. All right, Laird says, research other tech writers and see what they're currently focusing on. Yeah, check out their blogs. You know, if they're writing blogs, see what they're talking about. Might be really helpful. Philip says, I think my top takeaway is to hang with it until I hit a firm breakpoint. Yes. And you don't want to, I've seen other folks come through this program where they hung with it a little too long. It's a fine line, right? You've got to give it enough, but then you've got to also realize, you know what, it might be time for me to pivot a little bit and to make some changes. Scott says, yes, I agree. Switching gears is tough, isn't it? It's hard to have it because you really do have to have such different mindsets for each environment. I was a road warrior salesperson. And I spent hours in the car every day driving around. I was always home at night. But I got home and then I had to sit at my desk and become a freelance writer or on the weekends. I worked 7 days a week back then because I had to. So I was working Saturdays and Sundays. It was starting to get business in the door, starting to get some clients. I worked craziness. I just never had a break. It was really, really hard. So, and it is, and when you're under that kind of pressure, it's hard, very hard to shift mindset and to shift gears from one to the other. Let me see. Yep. All right. Gabrielle says, keep trying until I feel like I've given it a solid couple of months with a particular target audience. Absolutely. And then she's got a follow-up question. Gabrielle says about having general conversations with people in my target markets. It's not something I'd thought about trying. To clarify, you mean aside from a qualifying call, any suggestions for getting those set up? Let me see. I want to make sure I understand what you're asking. So one of the things to do, and I think what we're talking about here, Gabrielle, is having general conversations as opposed to a qualifying or a discovery call. Yes. There's a couple different ways to do it. Things that I've done in the past, and this was after I was in business for a while, but sometimes I would reach out to someone and say, I'm writing an article on a particular topic and I would love some insight from them. And would they have 5 minutes of time for a phone call? And I really was writing blog articles, by the way, so I wouldn't recommend you use this and not actually do what you say you're going to do. It's not a good precedent to set. But I started writing more articles for my own blog and wanting to get insight from people in the industry. So that was one way. And I know there aren't any networking events right now, but not in person anyway, at least in most places, but certainly online networking, if there's a way to connect and start asking, you know, interacting with people that potentially are in your target market. That's networking events, even online, are great ways to connect. And using LinkedIn for that as well. A great way to start connecting with people, asking questions, even if it's something that you know, you could ask them a couple of questions via email if they'd be willing to answer some questions for you via email. That's, you know, that's a good way to get feedback. I hope I answered your question, Gabrielle. If not, I'm happy to bring you on because we've got a few more minutes here. So I'm happy to bring you on if I haven't answered exactly what you were asking. Chris had another comment, a follow-up. One of the best technical writing blogs is Tom Johnson's I'd Rather Be Writing. You know, this is a time for you to start. And thank you for sharing that, Chris. This is it just reminds me that it's a time for you to start really becoming a student of what it is that you're trying to do. So whether it's an industry you're focusing on or at some point starting to get more into, I know a couple of you mentioned taking other courses for things like case studies and white papers and so forth. All good stuff. It's time for you to really kind of immerse yourself and become an expert. If you're working full time, that can be hard, understood, but you know, find a few experts who are already in the field that you can follow, like this blog that Chris is suggesting. Check it out if it's something that really works. I've got a couple of newsletters that I get in my inbox. I'm very selective about which ones I get. As a matter of fact, I think I need to clean house a little bit because there's some that I've just found have not really given me the value I was looking for. But I always keep a handful of newsletters and coming into my inbox to help me stay on top of the industries that I'm focused on, the things that I need to know, I need to be talking about. Chatbots is a great example. I had no idea. Now I'm out of the direct copywriting industry, have been for a little bit, a couple of years now. So chatbots, didn't realize that was a thing in terms of, Nick offering that program. That's great. It's important. That's a great example of if you were getting information coming into your inbox and being a student of the industry, then you would know that and be able to talk about that comfortably. That's what's important, is to start becoming an expert. Start positioning yourself. If your background already lends expertise, then fantastic. This is going to be easy for you. If you're looking to head in a new direction, like Philip was talking about, making a change, start to become a student of that industry. Find the top resources, the ones that you like best, the ones that you understand, agree with, whatever, and that are talking about trends in the industry and things like that, where you're getting news about that industry so that you can become an expert. And you really want to become a student of that industry so that you more and more learn and understand how to be a part of that industry and be of a valuable resource. All right. Awesome. Well, great questions. Good conversation. I'm glad that you're getting some value out of what we talked about today. Again, I'm still happy to take questions, but I want to just move on to my final question for you for today's call, and that is, what is your top action item? It doesn't have to be anything we talked about today. It's just, what are you going to be working on in the next week or so that is important that you make sure you want to get done? What's your top action item that you're going to be focused on? And if you do have any last questions, we definitely have time for more. So if you have a question instead, feel free to type that in. But anything that you're going to be working on that you'd like to accomplish in the next week, I'd love to see that in the chat. Laurel says finalizing her website and getting it in for review. Wonderful. Kelly's committed to working through session one and developing her positioning statement. Awesome. And Sarah says, I need to find more leads for pitching. And I'm hoping that you got through, not sure, Sarah, which session you're in. I hope that you did take advantage of your network, as well as different types of groups that you're part of and things like that. Taking a look at, there's real power and real gold in your network. So people that already know you and like you, trust you, it's a great place to find. You'd be surprised at the kind of business you can find. So Philip says his top action item is to complete the course. Need to get to warm emailing. Prospecting is going to become your number one. Prospecting and marketing are your number one daily action items. As you get through the first couple of sessions, it's going to be learning more about marketing your business, getting in front of the right people. And then you're going to be doing that a lot, and you want to build a habit to do it consistently. So good for you, Philip. Scott says, more research into education companies who might be interested in my skills and keep picking my friend's brain for insights. Absolutely. Chris is finalizing tasks in session one and starting session two. Great. All about the website and LinkedIn, your LinkedIn profile. Chris Dole says, get back into Ed's program talks and get back in the flow of the process. Yeah, good luck. I know how hard that is when you're working full time. So good luck with that. Gabrielle says she's continuing to prospect, and Mariana says she wants to send her website in for review. Great. Great, great, great. Laird says he needs to find more companies to send warm emails to. More research needed, sounds like. So great. Great, great. Well, I don't see any more questions from anybody, so I will wrap up our call today. I hope this was helpful and informative for you. I'm glad that you were here, and I'm really glad that you participated. I want to encourage you to continue. If you're able to come ready with questions, and do my best to answer them. And if not, hopefully direct you to some resources that would be helpful for you. And you can always post your questions in the Q&A thread on the Facebook group. That's a really important place to do that. Ed and I are both there pretty much every day looking at questions and trying to get you good answers. So whether it's there or on our next call, please do come and participate. I wish you all a great next couple of days and a great week. And I will talk to you again in 2 weeks. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you guys on Facebook. Take care.